This is Patrick Hart Ministries' Young Catholics Respond, brought to you by Viva Guadalupe. Now, here's your host, Bill Snyder.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to this episode of Young Catholics Respond here on Patchwork Heart Radio. I'm your host, Bill Snyder, and I'm blessed to be joined today by Martha Fernandez Sardina. And simply, she is on a mission of love, mercy, and truth as a bilingual international speaker and writer, preacher, and teacher, new evangelization trainer, and founder and director of Prepare the Way Enterprises, and Remember You Are Loved, Eres Amado. She has a Master of Arts in Theology and Christian Ministry, and 2 degrees in Psychology. She has been featured in Envoy, The Washington Post, Catholic Digest, has spoken at the Vatican and around the world. To learn more about Martha's love outreach items, articles, TV, radio shows, talks, and reflections, you can find, friend, and follow her at MarthaFernandezSardina.com and at Facebook.com. I Evangelize Martha Fernandez Sardina, on Twitter at I Evangelize, and so many other ways through social media. But thank you so much, Martha, for joining me today on Young Catholics Respond. It's going to be great to talk about love.
Thank you. It's great to be your guest, and it's always good to speak about love.
Absolutely. So in this first, we're going to actually do 2 episodes with you, Martha. So this is the first one that are that is being broadcast out there, and tune in next week to hear the second part of this. But in this first one, we're going to talk about love casts, and we've got 4 kind of statements that I'm going to let you kind of just run with here. And the first one is love casts all fear. So do you want to talk about how love casts out fear?
Well, Bill, the first thing that I want to point out, because I like to play with words, these 2 episodes where we're going to be speaking about love, I'm thinking about love casts as the overall kind of overarching theme. And so for you, listener, if you want to know where we're going with this, I'm using it as a verb and then as a noun. So, Bill, when I say love casts out fear, love casts out doubts, love casts out hatred, and love casts out indifference. So that's what we're talking about, the first thing. It's the Holy Scriptures, the sacred scripture, the Word of God, the written Word of God, that has been passed on to us so that we might know truth and live it, shares with us in 1 John 4:18. The Word of God says that love, that is perfect love, casts out all fear. Now, the perfect love of God, God himself is love, and God is perfect. Here, his love, therefore, is perfect. And St. John, who called himself the Beloved, isn't that an interesting title to give yourself? Because he was so in love with Jesus Christ, and he was loved in a special way by Jesus Christ. He says, in the first of his 3 letters, there is no fear in love, but perfect love drives out or casts out fear, because fear has to do with punishment, he says. The one who fears is not made perfect in love. But the one who has, the point he's making is, that the one who has been loved through and through by God, and the one who responds to God with love, actually is freed from fear. When the love of God comes to possess your mind, your heart, your being, then you let go of the fears that so often we fear. Fear of failure, fear of not being loved, fear of not fitting in. It's the love of God in our hearts that begins to slowly but surely to give us an assurance that God is with us. I love, in fact, speaking of assurance, where in the letter to the Hebrews, chapter 11, verse 1, it begins precisely by saying that faith is the assurance of things hoped for. So love and faith go together. In fact, love, faith, hope, and love, as you know, Bill, are the 3 theological virtues, those virtues, that those gifts that God gives us and that characterize the life of a believer. And they go hand in hand, as we see right there. When you have received the love of God, when you have faith in the love of God, when you trust God, when you believe God, you can hope, that is, place your trust in the God who promises that in his love, he will take care of you. And that's how that perfect love of God casts out all fear. Is that making sense to you?
It is, absolutely. And, you know, it kind of lends itself right into the next one, because when you think about it, you know, people can then love God without fear when you're free of fear. It then enables you to actually fall in love with somebody, right? I mean, that's like the crux, right?
When you receive the love of God in your heart, when you've come to a personal relationship with the God of love, when you have come to experience the love of God, and we'll talk about that, when you have allowed God to come and be on the inside, not just God on the outside, but God on the inside. You know, now we're celebrating the glorious Christmas season, right, in a few days and throughout this time of Christmas, this Christmas season that we call it. We see Mary has the child within her. Jesus is inside of her. Well, Jesus wants to be inside of us, not in our wombs, but in our hearts and our souls. And that's why he says that we are to love the Lord our God with our whole heart, mind, soul, and strength from the inside out, because the love of God, Scripture tells us also in Romans 5, that the love of God, that the Holy Spirit, that is, that the love of God has been poured into our hearts by the Holy Spirit. So when you've experienced the love of God, then that allows me to fall in love, because love is returned with love. When yes. I have experienced the love of God in my heart, when God has come to dwell inside me, then I'm able to respond to him with love. And as you said, I can fall in love with God. And that also helps us cast out fear, because there are numerous, I mean, tons, dozens and dozens of scripture passages in which we are told, we're taught that this perfect love of God casts out fear and casts out the doubt from our hearts. And I'd actually like to go over some of those with you all.
Do it. Absolutely.
Well, one passage that we see here is Isaiah 41, precisely in which the Lord, 41:10, that's one of the books of the Old Testament, in which the Lord already, not just in the New Testament, but in the Old, he's saying to us, "Do not fear, I am with you. Do not be afraid, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. I will help you. I will uphold you with my victorious right hand." Now, Bill, have you ever fallen as a child or as an adult? And wouldn't you love to have that victorious right hand of God to uphold you, to prevent you from falling, or to lift you up when you have fallen, to strengthen you? And so the Lord our God is saying that we can trust him, because he's right there. He has our back. He is the God in whom we can trust. I love also in the Psalms, we hear numerous times about the love of God, but in verse 3, we also hear the Lord saying, the psalmist praying to him, "O Most High, when I am afraid, I put my trust in you, in God whose word I praise. In God I put my trust," says verse 4. "I am not afraid. What can flesh do to me? What can man do to me? What can human beings do to me? What situation can prevent me from trusting fully in God?" And that tells you that psalmist knew the love of God, because it's when you have experienced, like I say, the love of God inside your heart, that you can actually put your trust in him and know that he's got your back and your front and every side. Can you relate to that?
Yeah, I can. You know, absolutely. I mean, when you have a personal relationship with Jesus and God, because Jesus is God, but when you have that personal relationship with, you know, your Savior, you live fearlessly. You do. You live fearlessly.
Absolutely.
You know, that also, you know, when you think about doubts, though, when you think about having doubts and moments of trial in life, because I think we all experience, you know, moments of great trial, doubts in our hearts, in our lives. When that happens, what do we rely on? What do we try and you know, lean on? Are there any good scripture passages or any good doctrinal teachings that talk about doubting God? Because I think many people question God and question some of what He allows to go on in this world.
Oh, absolutely. Well, you know, there are many reasons why we might doubt. In fact, Pope Francis, who is the current Pope or the Vicar of Christ here on Earth, he succeeds Pope Benedict XVI, who also spoke a lot about love, and John Paul II before him. And Pope Francis, for example, says that many times when we have not been properly loved, then we sometimes have fears. We don't know if we can trust. If you have been disappointed, if somebody who shouldn't have disappointed you, your parents, your grandparents, somebody who should have been there for you, if you grew up with that situation, you might have what I call a love deficit. You might have difficulty trusting God. Maybe that hasn't been your situation, but you might think, you listener, you might say, well, I actually been trusting God, but things aren't turning out my way. Well, when things don't go our way, it doesn't mean that God is untrustworthy, the same way that you can be trusted even if things don't go the way that other people around you would like. Maybe you have a spouse, a child, a coworker, a boss who maybe would like you to do certain things, and it's not your fault that things aren't going their way. So just to be clear on that, you know, God is not untrustworthy just because things don't always go our way. But here's another scripture passage to your point, your question, Bill, and that's in Philippians 4, when St. Paul says in Philippians 4, rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say it, rejoice. And then he goes on in 5 and 6 to say, let your gentleness be known to everyone. The Lord is near. And then he switches and he says, do not worry about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication with him, let your request be made known to God. So don't worry about anything, but rather, so to your question, what shall we do? Counter the doubts, counter the fears with trust and with prayer and supplication and thanksgiving and joy. And you might say, really? I'm doubting God and you want me to be thanking him? Yep. Yeah. Jesus, in fact, said that we should thank him for that which we are praying for. Now, you might say, wait a minute, that doesn't add up. I'm praying for something. I haven't even seen it come through yet. How can I thank him for it? Well, you thank him in advance. You thank him with faith, with trust. So one of the best ways to cast out fear and to cast out doubts is, of course, the perfect love of God, which leads us, as I was saying, to that trust, to that surrender, to that childlikeness that we see. And nothing better than what the Lord himself says, to put our trust in him. He says in John 14, 27, peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. I do not give it to you as the world gives it, because you know that the world gives passing things. Peace is here now, and it's gone in 5 seconds. He says, not as the world gives it do I give it to you. And then he says to them, and this, by the way, this is part of the discourse before he's going to be betrayed by Judas, captured in the garden, and then judged at night unfairly, and then sent to be crucified. So he says to the apostles, peace, peace. And then he says, do not let your hearts be troubled. Do not let them be afraid. So how are we to respond to fear when it comes our way, to troubles when they come our way? Do not tell your heart, my heart, do not be troubled. Do not be afraid. Put your trust in the Lord. In fact, there is a psalm that says, oh, my soul, trust in God. You know, I will hope. I will praise him still. You know, this is I don't have the psalm in front of me right now, but he's going through a time of struggle, and he says, but I will trust him still. And so that's something we need to do. And to play with words, because, you know, I like to play with words. If you trust him still and you still your heart, you will be able to trust him. In other words, if you still, if you quiet your soul, as the psalmist himself says, that my heart is quiet before the Lord like a weaned child, you know, just had his mother's breast milk and is just there now, placidly just enjoying life and maybe even falling asleep in her fold. So too, we need to still our hearts and trust him still.
Amen. Amen. Martha, time always flies on these interviews and on these podcasts and radio shows, and I have to take a short break, but when we come back, we're going to talk more about these different aspects of love and how it casts out or casts hatred next. So stay tuned here on Young Catholics Respond on Patchwork Heart Radio. We'll be right back after these messages.
Our Blessed Mother wants only the best for her children and has given us a special place where she promises to help all those who appeal to her motherly love and protection. Telling Saint Juan Diego that here I will alleviate the sufferings of all those who love me and seek my protection. That holy place is now the site of the beautiful Shrine of Our Lady of Guadalupe in Mexico City. If you would like to learn more about how you can visit this special place of grace, please visit vivaguadalupe.org for more information. Our Lady may be calling you now.
Hello, everyone. Welcome back to Young Catholics Respond here on Patchwork Heart Radio. I'm Bill Snyder, your host. Today, I am joined by Martha Fernandez Sardina. She is, by all means, a love expert, and we're talking about all of the different aspects of what love does for us. What is the idea of love? You know, we're in the season of Christmas now, and it's kind of a time when I think secularly we experience a lot of love from our families, a lot of love just and goodwill out in society. So with that, you know, we were talking a little bit about love casting out all doubts and all fears in the first half of the conversation. And we're going to move into all hatred and all indifference in just a second. But I know you wanted to finish up a little bit on casting out all fear and doubts.
Yes, love casts out all fear, all doubts. And I would encourage everyone to really do a Bible study, if you will, a topical Bible study on this, because there are so many scripture passages that can really ignite your love for God, ignite the love of God in your heart, and also help you cast out any fears that you might have, any doubts that you might have about your worth, about God's love for you. And that's exactly what my apostolate, my ministry, my outreach, my love outreach is all about. Remember, you are loved. It's to help show and tell the world that we're all lovable, that we're all love-able because God is love. And Scripture is replete, is filled with passages. And I just wanted to touch on a couple more in case you're struggling right now with knowing your worth and knowing what God thinks of you. Let me tell you what God thinks of you. In Isaiah 43:1, he says, "This is what the Lord says." He's saying this to you right now. "Fear not, for I have redeemed you. I have summoned you by name. You are mine." He's called you by name. He says in the scriptures, in the Psalms, he also says that even though, says the psalmist, and you can say this, "Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you," speaking to God, "are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me." Psalm 23:4. So we can have that faith that we need not worry. Maybe you're thinking, well, how am I going to pay my bills? How am I going to buy Christmas presents? What am I going to do come the new year? I need a job, this and that and the other. Matthew 6:34 is right there for you. "Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own," says the Lord. And that "therefore" comes after he has said that if God takes care of the lilies of the field and knows the heads on every hair on your head and so forth, if he knows everything, do not worry about tomorrow, but just humble yourself under God's hand, says St. Peter in 1 Peter 5:6-7. Humble yourself then under God's mighty hand, which is also a gracious hand, by the way, so that he will lift you up in good time. Leave or cast all your worries on him because he cares for you. So we have a lot to be thankful for at this time of year. We have a lot to be thankful for at all times. And we can really, truly, as the psalmist says in Psalm 55:22, cast your cares on the Lord, and he will sustain you. He will never let the righteous fail. You do what you need to do. Have courage, have faith, have hope, have love in your heart, and God will look out for you. Even if we suffer a little on this earth, or even a lot on this earth, we should always have in mind, Bill, that we have a heaven full of glory that is awaiting us. So whatever it takes here to make it there, we're all good.
Amen. Amen.
Here's the other thing, which is that other side of this love casting out. It also casts out hatred and indifference, as you announced to the listeners, because the person who has been loved must in turn love, and not only love God, as I said, which is the greatest commandment. Jesus was asked, what is the greatest commandment? And he was asked this because the Jews had added any number of commands that not entirely given by God, and I think they were in the hundreds and hundreds, 800 or so. And so they were asking, so which one is the greatest? And Jesus says, to love the Lord your God with your whole heart, mind, soul, and strength. And, you know what the end is, right, Bill?
Yes, to love your neighbor as yourself.
And these two sum up, he says, the law and the prophets. In other words, if you love the Lord with your whole being and your neighbor as yourself, with your whole being, as Christ has loved you, then you have fulfilled all that God has revealed through the law and the prophets. This is what it comes down to. That's why Saint Augustine, who said, love and do as you please, or do what you will. In other words, if I am loving perfectly as I'm commanded to love in Matthew 5:48, then if I cast out, if I allow the love of God to cast out all, not just all fears and doubts, but all hatred and indifference toward others, if I love as my heavenly Father loves, Jesus says in Matthew 5:48, to the Father, our Holy Father in heaven, He pours down rain on good and bad. He lets the sun shine on the good and the evil. And so we are to love perfectly. He says, be perfect as your heavenly Father is perfect. And he's talking about perfect love, the same perfect love that we were just talking about in 1 John 4:18. And so when that love has filled your heart, then there's no room for hatred and indifference in you. There's just no room for that, and you can then love your neighbor as yourself. Let's look at some passages. What do you think?
I think that that is just so beautiful, and I think it's a great reminder for so many people out there listening to this that it is possible to do this. You know, it is possible to have a relationship. It's possible to make a difference in your life through your relationship. By loving God, it's so simple. It just casts out the fear, the doubt, and then in return, it's that response of love to know that we now can love our neighbor, love God, and not be indifferent. I think, the last one there, the indifference may be the hardest one in our society to grapple with because as Pope Benedict Emeritus, Pope Emeritus Benedict said, about this dictatorship of relativism. Well, I mean, how indifference walks hand in hand really with that. And when you see how indifference creeps in and how relativism, whatever is, goes, whatever in my little circle works for me, I can do, but it doesn't affect anybody else. I think that is plaguing society out there today.
Well,
and, do you have any insight on that?
Absolutely, yeah. I mean, Pope Francis has spoken about indifference, the culture of indifference. Pope Benedict has spoken about it, Pope John Paul II. In other words, all the modern-day popes have spoken about it, at least these last three. For example, Pope Benedict spoke about the fact that when we are indifferent to God, then we become actually indifferent to evil, and we become indifferent to other people. John Paul II had said, faced with today's problems and disappointments, many people will try to escape from their responsibility toward God and toward others, right? And he says, escape is selfishness. Escape in selfishness, escape in sexual pleasure, escape in drugs, in violence, in indifference and cynical attitudes. So you may not be a drug addict, you might not be violent, you might not be, living a loose sexual life, but if you're indifferent and you have a cynical attitude, you're sort of on that same continuum that he's talking about. And he says, I propose, this is St. John Paul II, I propose to you the option of love, which is the opposite of escape. It's the opposite of indifference. You see, a lot of times we say, well, I don't hate anybody. And hatred is pretty bad. And we tend to think that hatred is the opposite of love. And it is a form of opposite. And so, sadly, sometimes we end up hating the very people we love the most. In the case of an ugly divorce or something else, or a friendship, you, it's almost as if you apply the intensity with which you said you love them to now to hatred. But even if you don't hate someone, being indifferent, not seeing God in others, not seeing yourself in another, is also an affront to love. And so we need to make sure that we are not indifferent to other people. I don't know how many of our listeners have heard of the Venerable Fulton Sheen, but he was a priest of the diocese of the Archdiocese of New York, became a bishop. He was known before a lot of social media. Now he was a star on television, just secular television. He had a show, and he would preach, and he looked almost like an actor sometimes. But this is one thing that Fulton Sheen said. He says, really, most of us live below the level of our energy. And in order to be happy, we have to do more, he says. Now, we can do more spiritually in every other way. So you see how important it is, he says, to have in the mind to do all we can. And this is what I love it, because then he's going to move it to do more in terms of not being apathetic. He says, to work to the limit of our ability. Now apply that to love, right? The love to the maximum. He says, our world is really suffering from indifference. Indifference is apathy, not caring. I wonder maybe if our Lord does not suffer more from our indifference than he did from the crucifixion. So love casts out indifference. When you go walking down the street, if you see someone who's begging, if you see someone who's needing help, do you turn your look, your gaze away from them or toward them? We should turn our gaze toward them. Do you have the time of day to give someone? Do you actually notice the other person? Or do you just go about your business on a day-to-day basis, even when you're in church, even when you're worshiping God? Are you just paying attention to yourself, or are you noticing the other? There's something beautiful, Bill, that Pope Francis said a while ago. He said, which is very meaningful for my apostolate, my outreach, and I'll tell you in a moment why. He said, when you encounter a beggar, do you toss or do you touch? He says, because if you just toss a couple of coins, a couple of dollars, but you don't touch them, you have not touched them, meaning their heart. He said, if you don't look at them, you have not really touched them. And I find that very, Amen. Very interesting, because so often we just want to stay away from people. We don't want to touch them. We don't want to smell them. We don't want to look them in the eyes. We don't want to have eye contact. And I say it's meaningful to me because when I launched this love outreach, rememberyourlove.com, I launched it in Rio de Janeiro, Brazil. And you can hear all about it on my website. There's some video interviews where I talk about it. But I remember thinking to myself that when we love message people with the wristbands, we literally should put the wristband on them so that we could literally touch the person, touch their wrist, yep. shake their hand, give them an embrace if that was appropriate, and that way we can touch their heart, which is what needs to be touched with the love of God and the love of neighbor.
Amen. Amen. You know, that is so pertinent and so wonderful, and your ministries and your apostolates are so wonderful. You know, as I wrap up, I want to make sure that I give your website again, MarthaFernandezSardina.com. And, of course, you can find her on Facebook and Twitter as well. But Martha, thank you so much for doing part one, and I'm excited to do part two here next week with you here on Young Catholics Respond. It's always a pleasure to talk with you, especially this time of year, about the greatest thing we can do, which is love.
Likewise, and just to close here, I'll give you a quote from St. John Paul II, great Pope. He said, do not forget that true love sets no conditions. It does not calculate or complain, but simply loves. That's the love of God for you. May you have a very Merry Christmas, and go out and love somebody today.
Amen. This has been an episode of Young Catholics Respond here on Patchwork Heart Radio. Until next time, from all of us at Patchwork Heart Ministry, may God bless you and keep beating to your Catholic heart.